Welcome to the podcast of New Creation Christian Center. I am Pastor Marquise Franklin, and I am excited that you would take the time to listen to our latest sermons and what God is doing in this ministry. New Creation Christian Center is in Seattle, led by Pastor Harold and Annis Franklin. And our statement is, come as you are and be transformed by the word of God, as stated in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Now, I don't know what you're going through, but I want you to be encouraged by the word of God that is going to be shared today. Check it out and share it with somebody that may need it. Now, let's get into this week's message.
Amen. Building relationships. I think that's it's key, like, especially when we're not next to each other. It's important that if we meet up with different people, they need encouragement. You guys know that the world is really, really looking for something right now. They don't have the answer. So they're all stuck on this and that, and God wants to give us the answer. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm going to go ahead and pray, and we're going to get into the second half of my sermon I preached last week on Be My Guide. Is that all right? Amen. That's one of them questions you have to say, yeah. Like, it don't matter. When you're in church, there's protocol, right? Amen. But Heavenly Father, I thank you to God for the ability to be here once again amongst your people. God, I thank you to God that we don't have to fear, dear God, because you are with us, dear God. You says that even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. You will be by our side. You will protect us. So God, we thank you, dear God, for your promises that are found in your word. And today, dear God, we pray to God as we read, dear God, and share what you placed on my heart, dear God, that it would impact, it will build us up into who you've called us to be. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And amen. So I started a series last week on Be My Guide. Everybody say, Be My Guide. Now, here's the thing about guiding you. I don't know if you ever went to a city that you've never been to. Obed, when you guys first came to Seattle, they were like, hey, this over there. And you're like, oh, man, what am I? I can't find the place, right? So what do we all do? We pull out our phones, right? Now, look, I don't know. And I have to ask my dad and people that are his age, but how did they drive cross country sometimes without the GPS device? You know, and a map. Yeah, okay, yeah, like they say the map. Yeah, like Dora says the map too, right? But when you pull out the map, you at least have to know where you are. And if you don't know where you are, well, you're already in trouble. But I just remember driving cross country, and it was like, hey, we got to go to this gas station. If we don't get to this gas station, I can make the next gas station. So you're planning it out. But I was like, this GPS thing has to guide me right now. Right, Obed? When you guys got here, it had to guide you. We have to have the same ability to trust God just like we trust our GPS. Right? Sometimes we, especially when we go new places, and I don't know about you, I want to go to new places in God. And some of those places we've never been to before. We don't understand what God is doing. And God is saying, are you going to let me guide you? Or are you going to try to figure it out on your own? Now, I don't know what it is about men. If we drive and the lady or the woman or our wife or somebody is telling us how to get there, we're like, I got this under control. And we'll do everything to try to let them know. But then we get lost. Not just men, but some whoever's driving, I'm just saying. At times you get lost because you were not led by the guide. Amen. So last week I talked about hearing, fasting, and praying. And today I have three other points that we're going to hop on that will help you allow the Spirit of God to be your guide. Amen. Number one, submitting. Somebody say submitting. Now, that's almost like a bad word, because really what submitting means is you're not in control. I submit. I say I don't got it all figured out. And you guys have heard me say that even while I preach. I don't have all the answers. I'm not going to come up here, get dressed up and be like, oh, yeah, I know everything. I don't. God still has to reveal things to me. Even I was talking to my kids this week. I was like, I don't know all the ins and outs of parenting. You know, they might have books and everything, but every book doesn't cover everything that your kid gets into, right? You have to trust God. So God has been showing me things in there. I'm like, God, help me know how to be the parent that you want me to be. God, help me know how to be the husband that you've called me to be. Help me know how to be the man of God that you called me to be, right? Do I got anybody else that feels the same out there? So I'm going to say this. If we aren't submitted to God, there's no way he can lead us. Now, see, some of us, we have to go into the desert or the dry land before God is like, okay, there's no other way. So now you have to trust me. But see, God doesn't want to have to use that. How many know that when the people of Israel left Egypt, they didn't have to go into the wilderness like that. They didn't have to be in there for 40 years. But because they didn't allow God to lead them, guess what? They started trusting their own ideas. They had their own ideas. They were like, hey, what if we just go back to Egypt? What if we do this? What began to happen is they tried to do things on their own. And that will get us in trouble. Right? So if you aren't submitted, you cannot be led by the Spirit. And I got a couple of passages we're going to go to. 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. 5 through 11. So 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5 through 11. And I'm going to pull that up right here. Hallelujah. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, somebody say, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, somebody say the God of all grace, who has called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, it talks a lot about, in this thing, humble yourself, submit yourself, right? But then it also says that God, after you've submitted yourself, he is going to, after you might have suffered a while. How many of you know that this Christian walk is not without suffering? We have suffering, right? It'd be great if we can just give our life to God and then, oh, we're in heaven, floating, you know, however we picture heaven, right? But you're going to go through some things, but God says if you submit yourself, after you've gone through, he says he will perfect you. Who wants to be perfected? Who wants to be established? Who wants to be strengthened? And then he says, and he will settle you. See, this is what happens when you allow yourself to be submitted to God. When we don't submit to God, guess what? We're fighting the whole time. And even when we get through it, we still feel like we have to fight. So now we're watching our backs. I don't know if you ever walked somewhere and somebody started following you. Now everywhere you go, you're, right? You're watching your back. You know, my mom, the Jackson family, they always watching their backs. My mom tells me some incredible stories how she ran away from people and biked away from people and all these kind of things. So she has an eye out. But if we submit to God, it says he will settle you. I don't know about you. If you find a place, a home, you can be settled there. You're relaxed. You're not all on the edge of your seat. You can relax. God wants to do that to you. But you must submit. Amen. Somebody say submit. One of the things about submission, it requires you to admit that God is greater than you. You guys always hear me say that his ways are what? Higher than ours, and his thoughts are higher than ours, right? God is greater. Come on, everybody say, God is greater. than me. God is greater than me, but he wants me to submit to him. And if I submit to them, guess what? The cool thing about when you submit to God, he's going to make you even greater. When we look at people even the Old Testament, when they submitted to rulers, it meant they were weaker then. And that ruler was not trying to make them stronger. But we serve a God that wants to make us stronger. He wants to make us brighter. He wants to make us the best. I was talking to my daughter this week. I said that God has plans for us to prosper us, not to harm us, plans to give us hope and a future. See, he's not the normal person that says, submit to me, and that's it. I run everything. Don't worry about nothing. No, God wants to build us up into who he's called us to be. Amen? James chapter 4, verse 7 through 8, it says, therefore, submit to God. Somebody say, submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. If we are not submitted to God, we can't resist the devil. That's key. Because what you're saying now, one of the things that we can look at as submission is that we are under God. I am under now his covering. When I come into this building, I am under this building, right? So when the rain comes, it's not going to get on me, right? God wants us to submit under him. So when that rain comes in our lives, we are covered. The Bible says, therefore, submit to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Then it says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Now, it's interesting. It talks about double-minded right after submitting to God. And I don't know about you. I know there's times where we submit to God, but then we're like, God, let me try this on my own. I think I got a plan. I think I got it figured out. You know, God, thank you for giving me A to B. Now I figured out C, and I can do the rest. Right? See you later, Lord. I can... No, God doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to continually submit. Don't get double-minded, because when you're double-minded, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. Have you ever been around somebody that's double-minded? They tell you yes, but then they mean no, and then it's like, it's confusing. It's like, man, look, I can't. No, look, I'll figure it out. I'll have to talk to somebody else because you're confusing me. But God wants us to submit to him. Somebody say submit. The next point is trust. God wants you to trust. The only way that he can successfully be your guide is if you trust him. Now, I remember back in my school days, we used to always have this faith or trust game where somebody would have their hands out and you had to fall into their hands, right? And if you really didn't trust them, you wasn't going to do it. You're like, who is that behind me? Right? Let me check on, I think we just got in a fight at the playground. He going to drop me, right? You had to really make sure you trusted that person because you didn't want to fall and really just look stupid in front of your friends. Right? But God is asking you the same thing. Are you willing to fall into my hands? Are you willing to let go of everything and let God? I know we all say that in church, let go and let God. You know, they even got songs that say that, you know, let go and let God. They keep saying that, but some of us don't want to let go because we like to be in control. Right? Come on, let's be real. Who likes control? All right, only a few of us like control. No, I mean, like, who likes to be in control? That's the question, right? If you're driving, you don't want your car not to be under control of you, right? So come on. We all like to be in control in some way, form, or fashion, right? Some people don't like surprises because they want to be in control, right? Some people don't like going to your job and not knowing what you're going to do, right? Just imagine if they came and said, hey, that was cool. We trained you on that for 3 years. Now you're just going to go on a freestyle mission here. And we'll tell you what to do while you get there. And some of us will get so frustrated because now we lost control. But God is saying, trust me, because I know better than you. Let's go to Mark chapter 13, verse 3 through 13. And this is Jesus talking on Mount Olives. It says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives opposite the temple, Peter, James, John, and Andrew asked him privately, tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when all these things will be fulfilled? Now, why are they asking this? Because they're trying to get things in order. They're trying to set stuff up already. God, hey, Jesus, when is this going to happen? Because, you know, I really need to go let my, one of them was married. I got to let my wife know so she's not tripping, right? I got to keep the wife, happy life, right, Lord? I mean, you just imagine some of the things the disciples said. But they're trying to make sure they get things in place. But Jesus said, answering them, he began to say, take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and will deceive many. But when you hear of wars and rumors of wars, do not be troubled. For such things must happen, but the end is not yet. Jesus continues to say, for nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there will be earthquakes in various places, and there will be famines and troubles. These are the beginnings of sorrow. But watch out for yourself, for they will deliver you up to councils, and you will be beaten in the synagogues. You will be brought before rulers and kings for my sake, for a testimony to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all the nations. But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. That's really what I want us to get to. How many of us are like, man, before I go even witness to somebody, I got to have the whole thing outlined. I'm going to say this. They might say that. We come with this right here. I was reading in a book. If I say this, this is going to happen. Right? Now, there's nothing wrong with educating yourself, but I will say this. Everything you prepare for, and if you actually go and share the gospel with somebody that doesn't know the gospel, they're going to change everything. Right? I used to be like, well, let me just go out here and say this. But God wants you just to trust him.
We're just halfway through this sermon, but our prayer is that God is already speaking a dynamic word to you personally. But don't keep it to yourself. We need you to testify. We want to hear what God is doing. Give us a call or text us at 425-686-8197 to let us know what God is doing. If you're on Facebook, contact us at facebook.com/newcreationcc or on Twitter at newcreationwa. Now, let's tune in for the second half of this sermon.
I don't know about you, the first couple of times that I was just ministering to people, I just heard so many scriptures coming through my head, and they were just exactly what needed to be spoke at that moment. Now, I've read the Bible, a few times, obviously, but I would not say that I had all those scriptures memorized like that. But the Spirit of God began to speak through me as I was trusting him on what to say. And sometimes I even pray under my breath. I might speak in tongues under my breath so that God will give me the thing to say to this person, because I'm trusting him in that moment. This is how we allow him to guide us, especially as we are speaking. I've been reading a devotional on the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And one of the biggest things about the gifts of the Holy Spirit is we have to submit to him and trust him. If we want the Holy Spirit, as I think one of us were talking about that earlier today, if we want the Holy Spirit to flow, we got to get to a place where we trust him with the very things that we even say. Where we just say, God, whatever you want to do through me, let your Spirit move through me. And really mean it, right? Let him, if somebody says, hey, you look kind of different today, I'm trusting what the Spirit of God told me to do. That doesn't mean I got to be foolish, right? Because sometimes, you know, people think the Holy Spirit means if you get hit with the Holy Spirit, you got to do backflips and all those kind of things. That's not what the Holy Spirit really is out after. The Holy Spirit is here to remind us of the Word of God and to show others that don't know who he is. He basically is letting himself be known to them, right? So it says, but when they arrest you and deliver you, do not worry beforehand or premeditate what you will speak. But whatever is given you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. It is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit, but you got to trust it. I don't know, have you ever heard God say something to you and you were afraid to say it? Right? That happened to me before. My wife, she tells a story about a lady that there was a pastor at a church and she had a word that she was supposed to tell her. And she was like, you know, Precious always says, little old me, I don't, little old me, I didn't know if I could tell her. But she told her and it was exactly what the lady had been praying about. When God starts speaking to us and telling us to do things, we just have to do it. Trust him. I remember there's a story that I have. I had a dream. It was a house that me and my wife really liked. And I used to even go up there and pray over the house and be like, God, if this is the house, praise the Lord. It's a nice house, right? So I prayed there. I like nobody lived there at the moment. So I just sit on the porch and go pray, just randomly, random times. And then I had a dream one night that the people that, there was actually some people that bought the house as time went by, and I had a dream they were having problems. And in my dream, God was telling me to go to their house and just let them know I would like to pray for them. So I get up early in the morning, and I don't know about you, I'm wrestling, right? Like, God, are you serious? Like, why I gotta do this, man? I mean, God, I really don't want to do it, but if I have to, right? I mean, I don't know about you, but when God is calling you to do something that's uncomfortable, that's how we act. Because really, it was going to take me out of my comfort zone. Do I pray for people? Yeah, but do I knock on random people's doors that have never met me before and be like, man, God just told me that you guys are dealing with some kind of issue and I need to pray for you? So I get up and I'm like, okay. I go up to the house, knock on the door, and I can see their shoes and everything. I'm ringing the doorbell, and nothing happens. I'm there though, and I see, like, I don't know if they can hear me, so I'm knocking a little harder. I'm at the house for like 5 to 10 minutes. Cause I'm like, God, I know you didn't just do this to me. Right? So then finally, I had like one of these notes in my car. So I wrote a note in it, and I just said, "Hey, man, my name is Marquise. I know this is very random, but God told me to come here to pray for you guys. And if you need prayer, here's my phone number." And that's pretty much it. Now I got back and went to my mom's house, and I was like, "Mom, I went to this place and they weren't even there." Like, I, you know, and she was like, sometimes God just wants to see if you're willing. Are you willing? See, God wants to do some things in our lives, but he's like, are you willing to trust me? Or do you like control? It says, but whatever is given to you in that hour, speak that, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. Then it says, now brother will betray brother to death and father his child, and children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. I have to trust God's word even in that. Right? It promises. I know we don't like this kind of promise, but it promises some bad things are going to happen. It promises division in families. It promises death. But then it says, but he who endures shall be saved. I still got to trust God even though I might be persecuted. See, that's easy for us to say, but for the person that might be in another country where they are facing persecution, what kind of hope are you going to give them? God's got a blessing for you? That don't always work. Continue. Paul got up after getting beat. He wrote another letter. Oh, man, praise God. I got something to write about. Why? Because the enemy is trying to hinder me. And he knows that if I trust God, it's another problem for him. We got to trust. Amen. Somebody say trust. And then the last one I got for today is doing. Somebody say doing. We have to do what God says if we want him to be our guide. There's nothing worse than asking for a guide, and as they lead you, you're like, ah, no, no, I want to go that way. Right? There's a little kids, my kids watched this Christian cartoon called Superbook, and they went camping, right? And when they went camping, the guide came up with all these rules, and the kid was like, oh, man, I thought we were going to have fun. He's like, don't go off the trail. Don't go off the trail. Stay this way. Why'd I got to stay that way? Like, he had a question for everything. And, of course, he went off the wrong part of the trail, and he ended up getting stuck in a cave that he couldn't get out, right? But that's how we do God sometimes. God, guide me, guide me, guide me. Wait, wait, God, hold up. The grass does look greener over there, right? I mean, that's how we look. Even sometimes as Christians, we look at the world and be like, they look like they're having a good time. They never show us that they're crying. They never show us. But God is saying, trust me and do my word. James chapter 1, verse 22, we've all heard this. It says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he is or was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Once again, you will be blessed for doing the word. Right? Paul was told to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And then there's plenty of times where even other Christians were like, don't go there. God, there's going to be things that are going to happen. Don't do it. And God said, Paul said, no, I have to do it because God gave me this word. And there's a fire burning inside of me that is telling me to continue to go. Despite what might happen, I must do the word. Amen. So we must do the word, but we also must do the work. Somebody say the work. God is requiring us to do the work. It says all scripture, and this is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 through 17. I'm sorry, I'm going to it quick. But it says all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Amen. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That means you're going to read the word of God and it's going to correct you at times. It's going to prove itself to you at times. And it's going to instruct you in righteousness. Amen. And your doctrine is the way you believe. It's going to change your doctrine. Right? How many know that? Your doctrine, there's still things in my mind that still need to be renewed by God's word. I don't care if you've been saved 25, 30, 50. I mean, if you save more than that, praise God to you. But if you've been saved a long time, God still has some correcting to do. I don't know about you. Moses messed up almost all the way to the promised land. Right? He didn't get to go into the promised land. And that's, I got to ask God about that. That's tough. He led all these people for 40 years, and he did. All we saw was that one thing, right? But it just showed he didn't trust God in that instance. And he didn't do what God called him to do. But it says the word of God is going to correct us, is going to instruct us in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be complete. Somebody say complete. thoroughly equipped for every good work. The more that I am in the Word of God, the easier it is for me to do the works that God has called me to do. Amen. Even Lil Cell said amen, right? The more that I am reading His Word, the easier it becomes for me to just walk and say, okay, God, I'm going to do what you call me to do. Why? Because I was telling my kids this week, too, when your friends text you, you read it. Right? How many of you get a text message and we don't read it? God sent us a text. We got to read it. And I said, hey, look, I can even get it to come on your phone like a text message if you need help. Right? But God sent us His text. All we got to do is read it. Now, it don't have all the emojis that we like. It don't be like I'm an all-consuming lit fire. It don't have that, right? But God wants, He sent His text to you so that you would know what to do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew 5:16, it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We got to have some kind of good works that people are like, wow, man, every time Marquise comes around, Marquise, I really appreciate you because you just took the time to just share something with this person. And I'm not talking about where we come around and like, hey, look at me, I'm on Facebook Live and about to hand out these. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, because some people do it like that. Like, oh, look, hey, check it out, man. My pockets is fat, and I just wanted to bless this person right here so you can have, like, don't let everybody know what you're doing. But somebody should say Marquise does good works. Somebody should say that Michael does good works, right? Somebody should say it. Let your light shine so that before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Last but not least of my scriptures, it says, and this is in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25, says, let us hold fast, somebody say hold, the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. In that we have to trust that God's promises are going to come to pass. Amen. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. You catch that? See, this Christian walk is not just about me. When I get saved, it's not about me anymore. It's about we. How can we? God allowed me to know Him so that we can change the world. So that we can make a difference, right? It says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. If you only love yourself, that's not a good example of love. Right? If I only love myself, but I don't love anybody else, that's not really love. That's selfishness. But God wants us to love and stir up love and good works. It says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as in some are as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another. What's exhorting mean? Anybody know? Lifting up, exhorting, encouraging, right? It's like cheerleading almost. Like, come on, let's go. Hey, yeah, yeah, we're doing this thing together. Obed, you can do it. There's a word that God put in your heart. Share that, right? Like, that's encouraging. We need to have more of that, right? It says, exhort one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We need to exhort people even more right now. If you see people doing good things for God, good works for God, you should be like, man, you're encouraging me. You make me want to go harder and stronger for God, right? We got to have these things because as we continue to allow Him to be our guide, it's going to get tougher. Because I'll say this, once you already know the directions to somewhere, you don't keep looking at the map, right? But I'm gonna say this. If all you do is the same thing and you never do something new in God, you got to check the map and make sure you're at the place that he wants you to be. God may want us to do something totally different. But if you're not in tune with him, if you're not hearing him, right? If you're not fasting so you can remove all the distractions, if you're not praying and seeking his face, if you're not submitted or trusting or doing what God has called you to do, you're going to miss allowing him to guide you. So we got to allow him to guide us. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you just for your word and the fact that you sent your spirit to guide us, the fact that you sent your spirit to live within us, oh God. And I pray to God that you would continue to correct us, train us, show us the way. Allow us not to be led by ourselves, or even allow us not to try to lead ourselves, but allow us to surrender to you, God. We want you to guide us even more as the day of you coming gets closer and closer, so we don't miss what you've called us to do in this time. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Let the church say amen and amen. If that was impactful to you, go ahead and slip your hand up. Praise the Lord.
We thank you for listening to today's sermon, and we pray that you are impacted to become the new creation that God desires. We at New Creation Christian Center invite you to come join us for service Saturday at 7 p.m. or Sunday at 11 a.m. located at 5150 South Cloverdale Street, Seattle, Washington. Also, feel free to visit us online at newcreationwa.org. New Creation Christian Center, the path to genuine life, where you can come as you are and be transformed by the Word of God.